Welcome to the universe we call home, as well as others. Here, we collide the universes of fact and fiction. Are you ready to take it to the max? Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today, welcome back to Around the Galaxy, numero 5.
Yep, fifth of the series.
That's a little bit of bilingual right there.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm actually pretty proud of Around the Galaxy. It's made it far. We're on the fifth episode of it so far, so it's a quick round of applause for Around the Galaxy for coming this far and having a fifth episode. So yeah, congratulations to that.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think this podcast has really advanced as far as getting into the realm of science and communicating it and just, you know, sharing our love for the universe.
Yeah. So, of course, I've shared my love for Around the Galaxy a couple times on how we just can talk about separate topics and not instead of just sticking with one.
Yeah. And I like doing that because sometimes you don't feel like you want to just stick with one thing. You want to feel like a little bit more fluid of a podcast, just popping out ideas here and there.
And usually, well, for sometimes, some topics don't always fit an entire episode, so this is where Around the Galaxy comes in and fills the gap.
Yeah, so before we get started, Zach, do you want to just briefly touch on...
Something coming up?
Okay, so, guys, we have a high probability of having a important person in the scientific frontier, especially with scientific communication.
Yeah.
Now, again, this is not 100%. Just don't want to ruin it in case it doesn't go right, but we are really excited for this. We hope it goes through.
I'm not going to tell you just yet who it is, but someone special is hopefully gonna come on the podcast in a future episode, so be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
Definitely be on the lookout for that.
So, with that being said, I suppose we should get into this. And the first thing I want to talk about is the unfortunate passing of Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, and, well, yeah, just getting into... Well, he was, just to start it off, was such a great person. I mean, everyone loved him.
Black Panther. That's the only thing I've personally watched with him in it, but I know he did a lot of other things.
Yeah, he was also in a lot of other movies. He was a great person in general. I mean... To have cancer and to be visiting a hospital and visit other cancer patients when you have
yourself
cancer,
have cancer. I mean, that is...
It's amazing, really.
That is a great movement for him. I think that is just...
It's crazy that
just seems like a great guy. And I've seen several, like, the tribute videos from... Especially from Marvel, directly released one. And the other actors talking about him. Just seemed like a fantastic guy. And I think It's sad but amazing that he kept going, didn't tell any... Well, he told some people, but...
He filmed all these movies while having cancer.
For 4 years, he's filmed, shut up about it.
It's crazy that... Well, that takes a lot of strength and skill. That just shows you his perseverance. And, well, it's... I don't think I could do that. Like, if I had cancer, that's one thing. But then, for 4 years, just... filming movie after movie, like, that's crazy.
It's really...
Especially big movies like...
Black Panther.
And
those things require a lot of, you know, skill and just moving around and activity and stuff.
Yeah, he's a superhero.
I don't know exactly how cancer, like, how it affects your body and, like, if you do physical activity, if that's good or bad against it.
But I'd assume it'd be a bit hard.
Yeah, but he just absolutely nailed it, so... And I had no idea.
Yeah, honestly, I think this came... Yeah, I saw... Well, I was on Instagram and I saw a couple of tribute posts and I didn't believe it at first. I had to Google it for myself because I didn't believe it.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard of it at all. It came as a complete shock.
I pulled up my feed, and it was one of the most surprising things I've ever seen. And it just came out of the blue, and it's really sad because I loved him. He did some great acting and just seemed like...
Black Panther was a great movie.
And he just seemed like a great guy, and especially what he did in Black Panther, especially for it was just a really well put together movie, and he really put it, and he was the icing on the cake as far as things go for that.
Yeah, well, he was the main character.
He was the main character.
He was the main character.
And I don't know what to say, really. It really did shock me. I'm really sad to see him go. Obviously, I don't know him personally.
But it's just a blow.
I think everyone is quite surprised and upset about this.
Yeah, he'll definitely be missed.
And Does it feel wrong that I'm already asking what do they do with replacing him? I think that feels wrong. So I'm
it
just
feels
not,
wrong for now, I'm but that's a, that. It's a fair question though.
Like, I think they should just honor him with some kind of tribute in the movies, like say like, oh, he's unfortunately passed or something. Give yeah, something it to his like sister that. Like that, because there's no way you can replace.
You can't
it
replace
just
him.
Would feel wrong.
Yeah, you can't make another actor as Black
oh,
Panther.
Obviously, you could. But.
You could, but I don't think that would be right. But yeah, that's not really up to us. That's just what we have to say. And yeah, definitely rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman.
I think it really just is just another thing to add to 2020 and
gone wrong.
But I think the thing that I've stressed, 2020 is not the worst to come, and we have to make sure that we realize this.
It's bad, but we don't want to have another year that's even worse.
And can I tell you something? You remember that thing I was talking about, selection bias or preference bias? I can't remember the
or
name.
Where you believe the thing.
Well, like if you have a preconceived notion, you will find things in that data that support it.
Right.
Actors have died every year, but you know, just it feels even harder this year because
well, we've had a lot of other struggles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
it's just another punch to the gut.
It's just another punch to the gut, and it might make it. It might feel like this year's worse because this happened, but this happens.
It does
far too
people
often,
do die
far too often though.
Yeah.
And but it's still very sad.
Still very sad.
I.
Yeah, that's well. Sad. Sad topic.
Even the topic of death is not...
It's not fun.
It's not... It's never fun. Just yeah. Like these chairs.
Yeah, these chairs.
That's a bad segue. Never
yeah,
use that.
No, yeah. Don't do that
don't
one again.
Don't compare death to these chairs.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, just really...
He's a great guy.
Really, yeah, it just surprised me.
Very shocking.
I think that's the thing I keep coming back to, because, I mean...
No one really knew.
No one knew.
Yeah, and that's... It's really
I
sad.
Think that's, but I think it just shows to his character. He didn't want people's pity. He was kept on doing his work because a lot of people say, "Oh, actors, they don't do that much. They just act." But he proved that you know they're strong and.
Well, he's very strong, clearly. Yeah, and I think that's enough on that topic. We don't want to get we're trying to keep it away from a depressing podcast. Yeah. Definitely don't want to.
One might argue that just having Zach on it makes it depressing, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Someone could argue, but I could argue the other way.
That would be me arguing that.
Yeah, obviously.
So I think I want to talk about the frontier of science and just a couple of interesting things and important things that have been worked on or discovered relatively recently, or just things that I found interesting in the field of science.
Yeah, and I think, well, this does fit the Around the Galaxy kind of segue perfectly, because, well, it's a bunch of little topics, and we're all going to just throw them together. So, yeah, why don't we just jump into the first one.
I'm going to talk first about Mars, and just, Zach, I think a question that I might have for a guest later might be about Mars.
Yeah, there might
be. But I want to ask you personally, do you think there was ever life on Mars?
Well... There could have been. I mean, well, that's pretty...
That's pretty
That's my statement right there. Could have been. And then I'll leave it at that. No, I think, well, it depends on... Well, of course, if you look at Earth, we're in that Goldilocks zone, right? We're in that little...
Where liquid water can form.
Yeah, where liquid water can form and kind of just be... It's the proper place for a planet to be to really host life. But I'm not going to throw it out the window and just say, just because Mars wasn't there.
I think it brings up... what's that moon?
Triton? Or Titan?
No, the one from Saturn.
Europa?
Europa. That moon is completely out of the Goldilocks zone.
It's
but because
it's the way at Jupiter.
Because the tidal forces of Jupiter being so close to it,
yeah, it's
it heats up the core.
Yeah, by squeezing and squishing it.
And it's created... There's
water.
Liquid water underneath. And I think that is one of the...
It just proves that it's possible.
...best places that we could find life there. And I think that is the thing that makes the Goldilocks zone and...
Well, it's the Goldilocks zone. It's still a prime
it's
example.
Still, it's still a good example because it keeps...
It's consistent
it's
most
consistent
of the time.
It's consistent, and you know that most objects within that zone will have it. Obviously, you can't
There's
predict...
There's always other
you
exceptions.
Can't, first of all, it's hard to find moons in our solar system, especially when you're looking at ones that are... Especially if just finding Pluto's moon is hard enough, and then figuring out if it could sustain life, well, that's...
That's another
very trick. Hard, and especially if you're talking about other solar systems in the galaxy. Well, that would be very hard.
That's
it's
very
hard
difficult.
Enough just to find stars in, planets in the area of the sun. We can only find them just when they go around the sun, and you see a decrease in brightness of the sun. So it's like
it's a very difficult task, and the fact that we've came this far, at least,
I think
to discover the
it's
water.
It's a big sentiment to how far science has come. I think is very surprising if you were looking at it from an outside observer, which is impossible, we're all human, but just seeing this little...
If you're spectating it, if over time.
These little people living on this planet, they're really just animals, and obviously everything's animals, so yeah. There wouldn't be a distinction, but
and if
just seeing how far they've come from understanding the cosmos, from coming up with these gods and mythological things, and now we have an understanding of actual mathematical formulas for how the universe works, and now we're looking to find other people who might have come up with these ways, or yeah, something along the same lines.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of humanity so far. We've made it pretty far. I mean, there's definitely lots of ups and downs, but humanity as a whole, at least has in the scientific realm, has definitely advanced further, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think... So anyways... I think we're going to go back to Mars, because that was the original part of my question. So, Zach, do you think Mars actually, just from your honest point, do you think Mars ever had Earth? Because I've heard some theories... had life.
Had life. So, well...
Earth is the only form of life we know now.
We do under... I think, well, if you're counting, like, bacteria and such as life...
Yeah, I'm obviously counting that.
Yeah, I think maybe there's the chance of... bacteria being
because that's the first thing that she was here on Earth.
Yeah, I'm actually having a trouble stuttering today, yeah. So I think definitely maybe there's the possibility of bacteria on Earth because why don't you just bring up this study of the that we just found about the water and the ice.
So, okay.
Then I can continue my point after you've explained this because so I think it'll make a bit more sense.
So I think you guys might not understand exactly why I'm bringing up Mars. But the reason I'm saying is because a lot of people think that a lot of life came from Mars because it has these huge rivers, like these places that have been carved out.
That looks like they were an old river that just all the water evaporated, really.
Excuse me. Yeah, and I think people say like, oh, well, eventually the atmosphere was just destroyed by cosmic rays and stuff because it has...
It has a lower atmosphere.
It just has no magnetic fields. It has a low magnetic field, right?
I think according to the Martian, that's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, so basically low magnetic fields didn't protect the atmosphere from the cosmic rays from destroying it, and then eventually it just kind of disappeared, as well as, you know, everything.
All life that could have ever existed, if it did. So what is this new study on about Mars?
Well, this new study is basically that it might not have had flowing rivers as we think of it, but instead glaciers that were like, you know,
a nice
glacier
floor.
Run that were forming and pushing and
moving the ground around.
And this was actually by some people at UBC, which is very close by.
Yeah.
So, you know, hometown pride right
there.
Yeah,
very, very proud of the boys in blue at UBC.
I think it was based off the fact that, you know, if you look at canyons formed by rivers versus glaciers, they all look different. Every formation type of a river, every formation type of a canyon or something, they all look different depending on how, like, what formed them.
Right.
And so they looked at them, and if scenarios were close to Earth,
They came to the conclusion
that it was not running water that did it, but instead a glacier run that caused this. And I think
they compared other, like, canyon type things up north in Canada, right?
I think it was, somewhere in Canada. I can't remember.
Yeah, well, probably Canada's a likely choice because we've got a lot of ice up there.
Here,
right? Got a lot of ice here, that's for sure. Yeah, and then I guess they came to the conclusion and, well, if just to add on to that point, if, for say, there's a ice floor, that usually means that there's running water underneath.
Or not necessarily running water, depending if it's glaciers or not.
Not necessarily running,
but you
water.
Could still have some form of life perhaps inside it, or it could say that even perhaps earlier there was running water that froze up.
Yeah, and one of the main signals for life is obviously water.
Well, at least life as we know it, but obviously as we know that could be completely incorrect. There could be life that lives completely different than us.
Yeah, but as we know right now, water is definitely a key factor, and when you say a place has had water, then that also brings up the topic of that place might have at one point sustained some sort of maybe even just bacteria life.
And this comes back to that thing that life might have come from Mars, because imagine a meteor hits Mars, ejects a lot of dirt, and you had some very strong resilient bacteria that survived through space, and it can come back and hit Earth.
And it landed on Earth.
And starts populating Earth with life. This is one of the theories.
Yeah.
Or even life has existed on Earth, been thrown away from Earth during, and then Earth
went
got
to Mars.
Yeah, and then Earth
Vice
got
versa,
bombarded, killed everyone there, and then the regenesis of new creatures coming back, or bacteria. But I think...
Who really knows?
I think that, sure, running water might make it... may seem like it was more likely that life exists there.
Well,
I think
more likely than if you just look at the planet now.
But I think it's still a very good chance that Mars did have life at one point, and I can't
even
wait till
life is just the tiny cells.
And I can't wait till we actually get there and.
Yeah, and then we can really truly discover it for ourselves. Elon Musk, take us to Mars, Elon.
One way.
Honestly, the one-way trip to Mars. I've seen articles of just people signing up. I know some people would critique it and say, well, when you never come back, you never see anyone you love anymore.
There's a lot of people that don't care.
Yeah, that I, depending on the stages in my life, depending on how old I was.
If your relationship status or
what
you've done here.
Yeah, the one-way ticket.
Might seem appealing.
Yeah, to some people.
To some people.
And, well, also you get to go to Mars and you get to live the rest of your life.
And you get to be some of the first colonizers there.
Yeah, which is... Well, that goes down in the history books. You'd be like the next Christopher Columbus, for say.
Buzz Aldrin, or sorry, Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, the next
Buzz
Neil Armstrong.
You know, I mean, sure, they didn't colonize, but they were the first ones to that planet. You can be the first humans to that planet.
That's definitely going down in the record books. So.
Columbus isn't the best.
Yeah, there's others.
You could have chosen the Vikings.
Yeah, the Vikings, too.
And this actually brings me up to another thing, which I read, which is that the Vikings could have actually... had smallpox and been some of the earlier people to start transmitting it.
Because they made it there before Columbus did, then, yeah.
And they did interact with the Europeans, whether it be pillaging or trading.
Yeah, raiding.
But I think this is an interesting study, but I think it also makes logical sense. Like, you know, why didn't we think of that? That makes sense. They were interacting, they could have caught the disease and brought it over there, because they were over there. We have proof that they existed over there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess it could have been a more... popular topic to just bring up.
Because
no one really considers it as much.
We give the hate to Columbus, but, you know, Vikings might have done it too.
Yeah. Who knows? Who really knows?
It might just not have been as noticeable because, well, it took a while for us to actually...
realize that they also went.
And also, the Vikings didn't document, I think, as well as...
Columbus did.
Because
Columbus really made his stand when he landed there.
Yeah.
They really, I think they had a bigger impact.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Not just with smallpox, but with wars as well.
Vikings were very interesting, you know?
Yeah, we should definitely do a Vikings episode. Just talk about, what's the Han... No, not Hans, but they had... Oh, I think all the Viking leaders shared some sort of last name. I remember doing a project about William the Conqueror.
What about Leif Erikson?
Leif Erikson, William the Conqueror, one of the other Norwegian Viking leaders, and I think one of the Harolds, right? King Harold. There's a bunch of those, are there not, in England?
I think so. I'm not the expert in this field. Yeah. But, you know, one thing I learned just before we can go on to the next one is that when they actually discovered Greenland and Iceland, they pretty much... They switched the names in a sense.
Because they thought they would change.
They wanted Greenland to seem more appealing because it is
bigger,
and it's so icy and really inhospitable. And you'd say, well, why would you want to go there? And
they say, Greenland.
Well, it's Greenland.
Yeah, just come to Greenland.
And Iceland, well, they'd already colonized it, so who cared? They probably already named it that because it was cold there, but
it was first. They probably got there first.
Comparatively, yeah. And, yeah, just some interesting stuff. I love Vikings. I think I am somewhat... I am Scandinavian, so it means I'm probably, at some point, descendant from one of them, I guess.
Probably somewhere way, 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 way back. But, maybe.
About 1,000 years, whatever.
Yeah. Expect a Vikings episode coming soon.
Expect one.
A Vikings episode, yep. Alright, what is our next topic for this Around the Galaxy 5?
We did touch on exoplanets before. And I want to talk about exoplanets.
Yeah, and just in case you're not aware of an exoplanet is basically, we did bring it up before, a planet in that Goldilocks zone of a star, a planet that at least we think has the possibility to harvest life.
And yeah, this is because, obviously they're in the... Why am I even saying this again?
Yeah,
but that means
they're
in the zone of their star, individual star, that is close enough to have liquid water, but not close enough that it boils off. It's between between 0 and 100 degrees Celsius.
It's in that Goldilocks.
Obviously, but then things could happen. Like, for example, greenhouse effect.
Just look at Venus. I think Venus is a great example of that.
It is hotter than Mercury, even though it is farther away.
Yeah, now why is that?
Because greenhouse effect. It has a lot of carbon dioxide in the air, which traps the heat. Not to mention the radiant heat, it gets so hot there.
Well, yeah, and when the light that's there, it bounces off the surface, and then it kind of gets trapped because of all these clouds and the carbon in the atmosphere, and then, well, that heat has nowhere to go, so it just continuously builds up, and, well, then you've got a hell, basically. I think hell is the best way to describe Venus.
It's a yellow hell.
Yellow hell, yeah.
I've seen some of the probes there. They lasted, what, like a minute or two?
I think, yeah, they launched a Russian probe. It took a couple photos when it landed, and then it just boiled up. There's really nothing they can do until they discover.
Well, it got crushed by not only the pressure, isn't it like 100 times stronger?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of pressure there as well.
And it's hot. Like, that is,
and it's boiling hot.
That is just hell in a nutshell.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go there unless it's for scientific purposes.
But the thing I'm talking about, these greenhouses, not only just as we were talking about, why is it slipping me again?
Mars? Venus?
No.
Greenhouse? Goldilocks?
No.
Oh.
Back a little bit to Jupiter.
Jupiter, Triton, Moon. Europa?
Europa.
There it is.
There we go. Anyways. Tidal forces can heat up the core and have liquid water. You can also have...
Or molten lava, too.
Molten lava, but you can also have a greenhouse effect that heats up the atmosphere significantly. Like, if you moved Mars, or imagine if we terraform... Sorry, if we terraform Mars...
Which would be fun.
We could... If we put a lot of... If we found a way to put a lot of greenhouse gases... Make a artificial greenhouse gas, like we're doing here on Earth.
Right.
And we could, in an essence, trap a lot of the heat there, increase the heat, then start planting plants, which will instead take that CO2 and start turning it into oxygen and eventually have our own breathable atmosphere. But obviously, we could screw that up. But the thing I'm saying is you can take a planet that might be traditionally not livable and...
Make it livable.
Or it could just be normally livable just because the conditions, like Venus.
Like Earth.
Earth.
Earth's a good example because we're kind of falling down Venus's path.
Imagine if you took Venus and you moved it out to, let's say Jupiter's distance.
Right.
What would happen to it, Zach, just from your knowledge? Do you think it would be Earth temperature at this point? Because
we took Venus?
Yeah, with its greenhouse effect and moved it out to Jupiter.
Well, now, is it, like, same orbit as Jupiter, or is it orbiting Jupiter?
Same orbit as Jupiter.
Well, I'm not entirely sure if the farther away it is would make
the light
heat.
Well, you get less radiant heat from the sun, but, the percent that you trap would stay...
Well, it would stop, there would be no more heat added, or at least at the rate that it is being added, because, well, you're a lot farther away, so less sunlight.
You'll still get some.
You'll get some, but not as much.
Not as much. And I think the temperature will go down dramatically, but maybe it will be...
But I think it's still locked in that effect. I don't really think there is a... You can't really bring it back unless you were to take away all the CO2 and then...
Or just toss it out to, like, the Oort cloud. Then
yeah, the Oort cloud. Yep.
Because obviously it has to... The energy... There's no perfect system. So the energy would always go out. The sort of increase entropy, Zach.
Right.
But there may be a way. I think at a certain distance that is traditionally outside the Goldilocks zone, you can use just a greenhouse effect to make life there because, well, at least suitable for our life using greenhouse effect.
So, yeah, there can be a good for a climate change.
Yeah, but maybe we could transfer the climate change from here over to Mars and terraform Mars.
Yeah, you know, just build a big suction tube, extend it through space, and then just put it to Mars. Even though orbits may not work the same and that tube could get stuck in between the sun.
Zach, that is one of the best plans ever.
Innovate.
Not only do they travel at different speeds... And somehow, and sometimes end up on the other side of the sun, but, you know.
Yeah, a tube.
That would work out.
It would work perfectly, I think, yeah. Scientists, if you're listening, I'd take this with a... I'd store that somewhere.
So, Zach, I did mention terraforming. Do you have any thoughts on terraforming?
Oh, well, terraforming as in, like, other planets?
Yeah, as in other planets.
Well, I think it's definitely necessary, or at least for human life, because... Unless we're just planning to, I'll use Mars as an example. Unless we're just planning to go to Mars, set up base camp like we did on the Apollo missions where we kind of just had the probe there for X amount of time. X is probably not that long because without being able to terraform a planet and change the way it is there because it's not very suitable for life at all, then you can't really
You're gonna go out in spacesuits. You're gonna have to build like indoor facilities.
Yeah, no, like the Martian. It'd be exactly like the Martian.
There's a fantastic book by the same guy as the Martian, Andy Weir. And it's called Artemis, and it's about this base on the moon.
Oh, wow.
And they have, and it is actually quite interesting because it's like a tourist kind of place. Like, imagine the way he described it was a Caribbean resort.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you get the money from.
Where are you going this spring break? Oh, yeah. It's to the moon. Oh, which part of the moon? Oh, John's Crater. Yeah. I heard the water's pretty nice up there.
But I like it because he designed these huge metal, well, they're not domes, they're actually spheres that are built into the ground. This is the way that they live there. They can't go out. It's not terraformed. You can't really terraform the moon. The gravity's too weak to hold onto an atmosphere.
Right.
And
it's just like it's a ball.
I think that is an interesting way. Maybe that's the way we end up living on Mars for the longest period of times until we can actually figure out how to efficiently and correctly terraform it, if we can.
Yeah.
Because maybe the atmosphere will keep on getting destroyed by cosmic rays, and maybe it's just...
Yeah, I don't think we have the real knowledge to know exactly how it would work.
Yet,
obviously. There's always new stuff could be planned in the future, which is great. I mean, the future is... Hopefully the future's bright. I mean...
Hopefully
Mars is...
Well, Zach, it's pretty bright. The sun's gonna grow up and swallow us, you can say it's bright.
In that essence, yeah, it is pretty bright.
So we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on To The Max, Around the Galaxy number 5.
Yeah, see you then.
All right, welcome back from the break.
Yeah, thank you for sticking with us.
That money is really, it's really helping progress this podcast.
Yeah, I know. You're.
We've almost paid off 1/10 of the mic.
I know. You're.
No, 20th.
Yeah, 1/20. Your contribution of points.
No, 40th.
Oh, 40th. Wow. It's not. Long way to go, huh? Your contribution, we thank you a lot for listening. It means a lot that at least some people care enough to just listen to us talk. I mean, it feels good that people like to listen to us.
Second half, Zach really has something he wants to talk about. So, Zach, I mean, without further ado, how about you just pop into it?
Yeah, for this first half and this second half. Yeah, that's what I said.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I want to just bring up, there's this, I think we can try and leave a link of this video in the description of this episode. It's called, it's NASA's Artemis program. And basically that is it's their program to go to the moon, at least from what I've seen and from the video they released. And you can I definitely recommend going to check this video out. It's amazing. They explain what they were going to do, and I just kind of want to briefly go over it, and then kind of at the end talk about how this will really relate to Mars, and it's in the plan on how this is supposed to come and relate to Mars.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So, the jits of it and how, everything really works is kind of... irrelevant. I just want to explain it's not irrelevant at all. It's really relevant.
Yes. But exactly. Explain first.
Rocket science. And I'll explain how the engines work.
But explain, because I think this is first the Artemis program, which is the getting to the moon part.
Yeah.
And then can you also explain how this is going to help with future Mars travel? Yeah.
So they start, how a moon trip would work for this Artemis program. They would launch a big rocket from Earth, obviously, and apparently this rocket is supposed to be the most powerful rocket ever made.
Even more powerful than the Saturn V, those ones from Apollo?
Saturn V, that was
even more powerful?
Apparently, yeah.
Wow.
And, you saw those ones. If it's going to take you to the moon, it's got to be pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And so, they launch that rocket, and, it's kind of the same as the Apollo and just how they get to the moon. They take the little, compartment where all the astronauts are in, and the... after they're out of the atmosphere, or in the atmosphere, they go to the moon, right? They just how they would have done it in the Apollo missions.
What happens when they get close to the moon?
Yeah, so now they're on course to the moon, and they have to... What NASA is predicting, or claiming here, is that they would have this other station, kind of like the ISS, but not as big. And I can't remember exactly what it's called, but I think it's called Gateway.
Yeah, I think Gateway. I've heard that.
Yeah, and so Gateway is... a station orbiting the moon in a kind of weird oval orbit.
But elliptical.
Elliptical orbit, yeah. And so...
What do you mean weird? Earth is an elliptical orbit.
Really? Oh, it goes
around. Yes, everything's... Do you not...
I thought it was circles.
You don't... Oh, Zach, I'm really scared, because if we're going to have a real scientist on the podcast...
Oh, don't worry about it. Zach, it'll be okay.
Zach, let's just explain. So, you know Kepler, right?
Yeah.
Well, he discovered that... that all the planets go in elliptical orbits. Now, just to dumb this down for you.
All right. Oh, yeah, just for my lower mind.
No, well, I just want to say this quickly, but basically, instead of having one point of rotation,
right,
an elliptical orbit has two foci. Okay.
Oh, so that focuses on two rotations?
Yeah, which is what elongates it. Because just if you guys want to think about this, picture, put two pins... and tie a string from both those pins to a pencil. Now you will get, so it's really tight on one end, then it will pull it around, and now you'll see why it's an oval. If you have one, then it's just a perfect circle.
Right.
But when you have two, then it will elongate it.
Oh, okay, I see. So, all right, getting back to the point. So now this gateway station has this elliptical orbit. And
around the moon?
Around the moon, yep. Okay. And so what's left of the rocket that went from the Earth to the moon will now dock with this gateway station, and the astronauts selected to go to the moon will go down to the moon on a lander. And instead of what the Apollo mission said, they brought everything on this lander to the moon.
So
they would, or at least NASA, would have had pre-missions that had no people on them.
So, like, to get SpaceX to fly them up stuff?
Yeah, they would send no... Or, what's the word for not having a person on? They would have...
Unmanned?
Yeah, unmanned missions to the moon to drop off all the supplies they would ever need down on the moon.
So it's just like the Martian, sort of.
Yeah, very similar to the Martian, if you watched that. They had all of the stuff dropped on Mars way before the astronauts even got there. So, very similar aspects there. And then, of course, the astronauts would do their thing on the moon with all the stuff down there. And then they would, fly back up on this on another half of the moon lander that's meant for leaving the moon, dock with the gateway, and then head back to Earth. And I think that, well, it's really cool. Like, really cool.
So tell me, why does this help with Mars?
Well, what they say in the video is that before we can really focus on getting to Mars properly and, like, setting up stuff there, we should probably do it with the easier, less, it doesn't take 6 months to get to Mars.
And also, if something goes wrong, we're actually quite close, relatively, and you have Gateway right up there, so...
Yeah, it's a lot, well...
And we can test it, because it's relatively the same, obviously different gravity, but you can still test what it's like without an atmosphere living there, and...
Yeah, it's basically the test dummy.
Yeah,
and not to say that the moon's a test dummy. We love you, moon, but...
Thank you for giving us...
Tides.
And months.
And months, oh, great. Thank you, moon. Yeah, thank you.
As well as making our nights slightly less dark.
Yeah, Moon, we love you for that, and we appreciate you. But yeah.
Although, you know, not good for when you're actually, you know, trying to actually capture stars at night, but...
But that's okay. We'll let it slide this time.
I think Moon. It's more important. I think he's been quite important.
Yeah, well, he's been pretty important, yeah. But then I think everyone can agree, Mars is definitely the main goal over the Moon.
But I think the question is, why Mars in the first place?
Well, bigger...
No, but why do we want to go to Mars?
I mean, that's true. Well, overpopulation is definitely a problem.
Colonies. Yes, but why Mars? The question is...
That brings up a good point. The moon is significantly closer, and that's why, of course, they're doing this Artemis program, so they can test it without having to wait 6 months for a probe to get to Mars, because the moon's only 3 days away.
Why not just have a colony on Mars? At Earth. Not only will you not have to wait 40 minutes between conversations, you'll have, like, what? Like, pretty, almost...
Minute. I think it's 1 minute.
You'll have the same kind of Wi-Fi like I have at my house.
Yeah, well, it's no real good Wi-Fi anywhere up north in Canada, but that's a struggle we all have.
But I think, why do we actually want to go to Mars? We can build a civilization on the moon, and, well...
In fact,
if you look at, as I was talking about earlier, The Martian, the same author, why can't I think
of this? Weir.
Andy Weir. Weir. It's Weir. Artemis was a book he wrote about a civilization. And there's a lot of resources up there that they can actually build
stuff.
And there's a lot of this silicate on the moon, like the rocks are made of it. And when you're making like the metal to build the base and stuff, you can harvest this oxygen from it. It's released as a byproduct, as well as you can also make glass from it. So there's a lot of stuff that you can
there's
also
options.
You can build stuff up there. And instead of base it with Mars, I mean, it's farther away. You have to send all everything over there to begin with. I mean, the same thing with the moon, but at least there's...
It's closer.
And, like, I understand, sure, if we... But really, what is there about Mars that makes it more attainable? I mean, first of all, we're not using it as a backup planet. It seems like we're already saying, go to hell, Earth. We don't like you.
So. Yeah, well, we're basically already screwed over Earth by eliminating all natural resources.
Well, yeah, we're far from all.
Far from all, but...
The sad thing is, we could keep mining fossil fuels. Forever. We just screw the Earth by that time.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess you bring up a good point. The moon, it's a lot closer. It takes less time to get there. It would cost a lot less fuel. It's just easier calm. Everything just seems easier. So then, I mean, Mars is always... It looks cool. I mean, that'd be being an interplanet system... That's just really cool.
But I have a question, Zach.
All right, yeah.
Antarctica, a lot warmer compared to Mars, and we can breathe. Why Mars?
That's true. Well, I mean,
why don't people want to go, oh, sure, it's another planet, but really, if we're thinking about living, Antarctica seems like a far better choice to do.
Yeah, you can take a cruise ship, and then you can, well, according to the flat earthers, the robot penguins would kill you if you went to Antarctica. But, I mean, there's a lot of countries have territory there, and...
You said you could, already are bases there, but, like, really, if we want to live on Mars, why not consider Antarctica first? Because it just seems...
It's even closer than the moon.
Yeah.
A lot easier accessible.
And we can breathe there.
Yeah, that's...
And it's not that hard to ship stuff there comparatively to the moon. On the moon, you have to pay... What is the... Let me just... Sir Zach,
how much money it would cost to send something to the moon? Pounds per what?
Dollars per pound to send stuff to the moon.
Well, it's probably pretty expensive. I mean, when most of the rocket is fuel, you can't really, and the calculations come down to like a percent. You can't really.
It costs $10,000 to put a pound in orbit.
It's a lot.
And you know, I wonder how much it costs to send something to Antarctica.
Yeah, probably not. You could take a suitcase and. Some wood and build yourself a little house, get some heaters, and then you're fine.
You can hunt penguins for food.
Yeah, people definitely undermine both the moon and Antarctica and really focus on Mars as the big picture. But in reality, Antarctica and the moon are
If we run out of space on Earth, Antarctica seems like a far better choice.
Yeah, just like we've been saying this entire time, they're way easier, accessible, and they're... closer, and it's just easier in general. So yeah, hopefully.
And Zach, there was one other point that you talked about just during the break, which was launching rockets from
the moon.
The moon.
Well, I think I'm not entirely sure if this is correct, but I'm pretty sure the moon's atmosphere is a lot less.
Well, yes, Zach, it is.
It is. I just wanted to make sure. I don't want to be called out by anyone,
especially after that horrific.
The horrific statement.
Orbits in perfect circles.
I know, my apology speech is definitely coming soon for that. But yeah, so it's definitely a lot easier to launch a rocket from the moon, let alone if you can get all the stuff there, obviously. But if you had the choice to launch a rocket from Earth and the moon, you'd 100% choose the moon, right? And yeah.
Yeah.
So I
but
think.
But wait.
All right. Yeah.
I think my problem with it comes with the fact that if you were launching something from the moon,
you'd have to launch something from Earth to get it to the moon.
To get the materials to the moon to build it there in the first place, and then you say, why not just launch from Earth?
Yeah, so you don't do two launches.
You won't be saving money in that process.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that's a good point. If scientists and astronauts can figure out a way to build a 6 million ton rocket from the moon,
if you can build one from mainly resources on the moon, then yes, you will be saving money. But
100%.
But you have to actually have a reliable economy pretty much up there in order to start building that, because...
It's expensive.
And, well, it might be cheaper than Earth, because there's no driving up of prices. If you're the only one up there, you can control the market.
Yeah, you have a pretty full control over the stocks and everything up there.
Yeah, pretty full.
Yeah. It's easier, but then it comes down to how do you get your rocket there, which is...
Yeah, until you set up an actual colony up there that's self-sufficient, you won't have a cheaper cost to send it from the moon, because you'll have to send up the parts via rocket anyways.
Yeah, so stuff to think about. Hopefully in the future we will have a moon space station that is just, well, it's accessible by most scientists. I think that definitely would be a step in for humanity. I mean, that we say we just go to the ISS for like 6 months now. You say, oh yeah, it's my trip to the moon. Bob, what have you been doing the last 6 months? Oh, I was just on the moon performing some experiments. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I think it would.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. In the future. Definitely in the future.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about exoplanets.
We did that last... What do you mean? We didn't talk about exoplanets last time.
I didn't finish it off.
Oh, you
didn't
finish
it off?
So I want
to talk a little bit more. I just want to talk about just how many we found. Just, it's a small thing. But we've already found 4,000, like 201 or something. This is as of August 2020, which is phenomenal. Like,
that's 4,201 other planets that could sustain life just like Earth. I mean, that sparks a little bit of hope, even though they're very, 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 very far away. But say we figure out a way to get to them, then there's hope. There's hope. I think that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
You can't disagree. Hope is always a good thing.
Yeah, I always think hope is a good thing.
Is that all you wanted to bring up about the exoplanets?
That's honestly all I wanted to bring up.
All right, yeah. We'll just leave exoplanets as they are right now. All right, I think we have one more topic to get into before the Around the Galaxy 5 finishes off.
Well, I have a choice for you, Zach. We can either talk about gravitational waves or dinosaurs. Just a little bit about dinosaurs, because I feel motivated to talk about that.
I think dinosaurs is a big topic and deserves its own episode. Look for a dinosaurs episode and a Vikings episode coming soon. But, yeah, I think we'll do gravitational waves. That could be fun. Definitely, I don't think that would take an entire episode.
Well, actually, there's one more thing
another.
I just found something that I wanted to talk about, and it is the Greenland shark. This is something that I've...
The Greenland shark.
Now, Zach, I'm holding the notes away from Zach, so he's not going to be able to see this one thing, because I pulled up a few notes for this.
Oh, boy. Now, what's so special about the Greenland shark, Max? What's so...
Zach, what do you think the animal that lives the longest is? Just because I've asked this question, you obviously know that it is the Greenland shark.
Oh, it's probably the Greenland shark,
yeah. But when people ask you that question, and they've already stated a topic they're talking about, you should always assume that. But
that's true.
But, like, think about it. What animals do you think live the longest?
Blue whale, right?
Elephant. How long do blue whales live?
Well, I think they live pretty long. Right?
They live 95 years. That's just a little bit longer.
Well, at least that's the average, I would
assume.
Yeah,
that's the average.
So that's pretty good. Elephants maybe are...
I'm just asking Siri. How long do elephants live?
Oh, here we go. Oh, what's it going to be?
They only have an 80-year lifespan.
Well, that's still 20 years better than us. I think ours... Yeah, human life
expectancy
is like 65 years.
But most of the people I know are... It's
I'm just taking an average.
If that's an average, yeah, that is definitely. But I think mean is a better way to go. Mode like the? Oh God, I really need to go back to school. But I think it is. I think it's better to take the average number that shows up rather than the average of all the numbers. Like, for example, if you have 5, 7, 7, 7, 5.
All right.
You could find an average in 6, but the mode would tell you that it is 7. Because there's more sevens.
All right, fair enough. I'll take it there. But
yeah,
generally,
yeah,
they
generally.
Live... All right, yeah.
But
so now, how long... What about this Greenland shark? How long is this?
400 years.
Oh, my goodness.
That just blew it out of the water.
Yeah, well, just think about it. Well, this Greenland shark was born at the same time what's happening in
oh my God.
1700s.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay.
All right, what's happening, Max? What did you just discover?
So, 16... So, this is...
1700s. Cool.
1700s, so about 16 something. So Galileo, they would have, if he had seen Galileo, he could have known Galileo.
A shark.
Yep.
A shark, but
like,
they were alive at the same time.
Galileo was, and he was alive at the same time Einstein was, and just the span between those two is large enough.
Yeah, Galileo and Einstein is still a big, and even put Newton in there, and it's still a big gap. But that same whale was around for all of it.
Yeah.
From Galileo to Isaac Newton to Einstein to Stephen Hawking.
All of them.
You've seen it all.
Even Bill Nye.
Even Bill Nye. He's the next after Stephen Hawking. Like, well, just, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy. That one living being has been around for that long. Wow, is that all you wanted to talk about this Green Lantern?
No, I have actually a little bit more to talk about. But I think, first I just want to make a hypothesis.
Ooh, what is your hypothesis?
I think that animals in water can live longer because there's less pressure. Like, obviously more pressure, but they don't have... Like, we are forced down into the ground. Just think about it this way. Where the fluid, you're pushed from all directions. And water is quite a more dense fluid compared to air.
Okay.
So I think that it actually relieves a little bit of pressure, like, compared to, like, just directly... We have pressure that goes directly down into our legs.
And you think that makes us age... Or at least makes us not live as long.
Yeah, I think... Well, I think it's just slightly easier in the water to begin with. Obviously, 400 years is insane.
That's four times... What, four times? Yeah, four times the amount. That's insane. Yeah, is there anything more on this Greenland shark that really blows anyone... That would blow someone's mind?
I don't know. Other than, like...
That's pretty crazy. 400 years, man.
And that's just an average. So, like,
there could have been one that's even longer.
There's one that was... It said that... there's one that was 392 plus or minus 120 years. So it could have been up to 500 in, like, 20 years, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, Jim, how old are you today? Oh, it's just it's my 320th.
I still a youngin'.
Yeah. 320 years young. Wow. That's crazy.
And I think, and here's the thing. They said that nuclear bombs was one of the things that helped them determine the age because they had they had radioactive particles, I guess, on them, and they could actually date that to the time that the bomb was exploded.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That's really cool. Fantastic.
Good for you, whale. Living 400 years young. Good for you.
And then another thing. So have you heard of the Iceman?
No, why don't you tell me what the Iceman is?
So the Iceman was this guy who, I don't know his name, but he went into these buckets of, like, freezing cold lakes and stuff.
Oh, cool.
To remain more youthful. And according to, trying to think of the name.
According to somewhere.
Ann Harbor, I think.
Sure, why not? We'll go with that one.
No, wait, sorry. She's just a geneticist. Man, that is a college. I'm just losing it, aren't I?
Yeah.
But a couple people found out that cold can actually activate anti-aging genes that helped an animal, you know, produce still good, like, proteins and stuff and get rid of the DNA damaging molecules and stuff, which is like...
So that kind of, if they live in Greenland, where it's pretty cold, and according to your hypothesis, in water... I mean, that's kind of, apparently, is the structure to live, to long living.
Yeah.
Yeah, 400 years, man. That's crazy. That is crazy. Wow, is there anything more on the Greenland shark?
You know that there's actually more old creatures in frigid waters? So it seems like my hypothesis really does pay off. There is a 500-year-old chowder clam found in the North Atlantic.
Oh, wow.
Which is... It's
a clam took the record.
But these could be exceptions, but I think it is just... is really cool, and...
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think that these sharks are really cool. And if you search up some pictures, they look prehistoric.
Yeah, that is a very old-looking shark right there.
The thing is, evolution would have to... take quite a while for these guys.
Yeah, especially if an average lifespan is 400 years.
I wonder what age they reproduce.
Yeah, when do they really become adults?
Yeah, because if they reproduce at an age of 200 to 300...
Well, that's a humongous span.
No, but I know it is humongous, but imagine any time within that area. That means that the time that it would take genetic modifications to really start paying off in natural selection... We have a lifespan of roughly 100, but we reproduce...
We don't have a lifespan.
Sorry.
60,
sorry,
like 70.
60, sorry. But we reproduce around 30, right?
Right.
If they reproduce at 250, well, think about... It makes sense that we have genetic modifications, because you can see that if one genetic modification happens, It happens quicker, and you can see the changes quicker. Whereas these,
that's 400
longer,
years.
Because they live so long. And... I think these things are really fascinating remnant of older periods.
Well, yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't even know these things existed.
So I think, with that being said, Do you want to wrap up for the podcast today?
Yeah, I think we'll leave those gravitational waves for another time. And I actually really wanted to bring up his Greenland shark.
I learned about them and I thought they'd be cool.
Yeah, they were. Fair enough. 400-year-old whale or shark. Fair enough.
How do you get whale from shark?
Well, they're both big sea creatures. Fair.
One more thing I learned.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Sorry, it's just about ecosystems. So it'll take like literally 1 minute.
All right, here we go.
You can find out about whether a species is extinct or something, or one animal is extinct, by looking at, you know, predators. For example, the megalodon was a large shark, that was really big, and whales were small at the time.
Right.
And now whales are big, and...
There's no more megalodons.
And there's smaller sharks. You can tell that the whales realized, at a certain point, they had to be small and fast to escape the big megalodons.
Right.
But then, now there's smaller sharks, and they have to be bigger in order to prevent them from attacking
being
them.
Being eaten, yeah.
So it's very interesting, just looking at the relationship. Squid as well. Yeah.
There's, like, big, humongous mega squids. I don't know the exact name for them, but there's definitely the
giant squid's egg?
Is
that what you're thinking of?
Probably the giant squid. Yeah, but the giant squid and the blue whale, definitely, they fight a lot.
Yeah.
And, well,
or sperm whales, I know.
Yeah, sperm whales for sure.
Blue whales are plankton, I thought.
One of the whales.
Sperm whales are like one of the only ones who actually like are teethy and stuff.
Oh, really?
Most of them just have the stuff that catches plankton.
Oh, all right, yeah, because most of them, I wouldn't go for one of those 20-foot-long squids. I think that's how long they were. I could be completely wrong.
They're huge. Like, honestly,
they're huge.
The depths of our ocean hold some of the scariest creatures ever. And if you look at them, you say, well, our aliens will look really different from that, even that, and we find those completely alien to us, so...
Yeah. If I were you, I'd go look up a short YouTube video of giant squid versus whale.
Or just even look at images of giant squid. Creepy.
Very scary.
So, with that being said, I think we're going to draw a close on today's episode.
That's right.
Thank
you all for listening.
Yeah, have a safe and fantastic rest of your day. Hopefully we can hit you up with a special interview coming soon. But we're going to catch you in another podcast, everyone.
Yeah. See you later.
Goodbye.